Are we going?
Into podcast.
Potter Who Cast.
Advertiser call.
Billis Major at your service.
Don't forget me.
Sarah, did you forget me?
Oh, let's go, that's class!
There is no such thing as...
Yargalo. Hello.
Hello.
And we're sailing the horseshoe. We're sailing the history.
Yar. I think this episode is just us going to be saying yar for an hour.
There's not much more to talk about. So,
I did love the whole, like, can you do the laugh check? Here's a parrot. More laughing, please. And they go,
there are good bits in this episode. Like, there's some stuff. There's a bunch of stuff that belongs in a better episode.
Can we take just 5 minutes for me to eat? I need to finish eating.
While you eat, how about this? The scurvy sea dog, who is also here, can introduce themselves.
Hello. Glad to be back. I am, at this point, 6-time guest, Nathan. You may know me from my appearances on Christmas Invasion, the American AU. I've been around.
American AU. Because we've talked about CC, because CC is one away from 5-timers. So you have Christmas Invasion, OU, AU, OU, OU.
OU.
What you call it?
Smith and Jones.
Smith and Jones.
Journey's End.
And Lazarus. That's
Lazarus,
five.
And the panel show.
And also then series 5 was...
Angels.
Angels, so that's 7, so this is your 8th.
Crimey. You have me on the show too much.
Well... A certain other scurvy sea dog finishes their lunch.
Yar, I'm almost done. Yar.
I made the decision to watch this right before the record, and I think that was the right choice because this episode kind of slips out of your brain.
You could say that.
It is
I'm gonna end up being too mean. 7th of May 2011. May the 7th be with you. Directed by Jeremy Webb. Which is what happens when Robert Webb and Peep Show collide. He directs Wading the River Song and then goes on to do like a lot of American stuff, including The Last of Us. He does a job with it.
Yeah.
Stephen Thompson, Mr. Thompson, I think he's talking to you. One of the Sherlock 3.
He did, yes.
Blind Banker. Oh,
that's where he came from. Okay.
He's the guy that everyone is kind of convinced was just a pseudonym for Moffat and Gatiss working together. He wrote all the mid-early episodes of Sherlock.
Blind Banker, Writing Back Fall, and then with the other two, he did Sign of Three. And then after
Again, really a guy I remember at the time, people going, this is just Moffat and Gatiss using a fake name. And you know what? I would believe it.
It says
he's got a really, really middling resume after this. He's got Journey to the Center of the TARDIS, which is
one of the worst episodes of the modern era.
I'm sorry. Are we implying that in order to create it makes no sense, because I'm looking here. He has jobs before 2005. He worked on a show called Doctors. Or was this a joke?
False flag.
Fake news.
He created a show in 2021. Why?
False flag. That's real.
Oh my god. Sorry. Hold on. I'm so sorry. Do you know who he created a show with?
No one.
Frank Spotnitz.
What? No, listen, we can't. Sorry.
No, we actually can.
Frank
Spotnitz. So the show is called
It's going to come back up at some point, I'm pretty sure.
Was he almost cast for the role of River Song? Like, what context is he going to come up with?
I cannot believe that he. Wait, did he create a show with the kickboxer?
Oh my god.
It's one of the guys. Who is it? No, it's not. It's John. I'm thinking of John Chabon. Sorry, John Chabon writes some of Miracle Day. Also of the X-Files fame. So, sorry.
What the hell? I'm sorry, and I'm so fascinated by this. Its show is called Leonardo. It was created in 2021. It airs in Italy, but it stars Aidan Turner and James Darcy.
It is truly just those three names and a bunch of Italian actors who I have never heard of in between each of them. It's
and Freddie Highmore.
Freddie Highmore playing Stefano Giraldi, officer of the Duchy of Milan, investigating the murder case in which Leonardo is involved.
Look at the episode count and then look at where it says that it was renewed for a second season. And tell me that it's not going back for a second season because...
Oh, yeah. It had eight episodes. It got renewed in 2022.
And the CW picked up the series.
Yeah. So there you go. John Chabon will come back. But after Journey, he goes and he does Time Heist, which is an anagram for Time Shite, which is how I feel about that one as well, even though it gave us Fiero.
It did give us Fiero with a bunch of USB dongles in his head.
In what is maybe his worst performance as well, because that is one of the most embarrassing performances by a
grown... Also an episode that features the narrator from Stanley Parable.
Mm-hmm. And also...
Do you think in that episode Jonathan Bailey is hacking through life? No. Okay, sorry.
We should...
Hacking through life.
The insane
booting
thing,
the circuit.
The insane thing that the
save it for series 8, Michelle.
The Tin Man costume is a Cyberman costume, and that is insane.
I really hope that ends up being true.
It is. It's quite clearly.
It looks so similar.
The shape of some of the parts aren't 100% similar, but in ways where I'm assuming that they like changed it so they had plausible enough deniability, because it is very close in a lot of places.
And there was one on auction very recently as well. So
I hope they also kept the face. I hope that the
SpongeBob going around with his little metal face. In a sentence.
Yark.
Captain Avery's prior career was terrorized by a siren, turns out to be an alien doctor trying to save people's lives, blah 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 blah. I want to put a mission brief, a mission statement, if you will. this traffics in so many pirate tropes, yet not once does it feel like it's got pirates or it's about pirates.
No, especially
disagree.
Because...
It
just feels like it overdoes the pirate thing to the point where it just does not feel like
It does not help that the entire supporting cast is killed off 15 minutes in. I killed off in air quotes, but like you do not get a chance to meet, like, get to know any of the other crew members as characters. They are just immediately picked off, and
that's not what this episode is about, though. This episode is like it's just a fun little pirate adventure story.
Yeah. There's not pirates in it.
Yes, there is. There are. They literally. What are you talking about? There's no pirates. They have a sword fight.
Good for them. But like, there's no like, it's. Like it just doesn't apply. The thing as well that gets me, and like I kind of down it. It's not like my least favorite one. It's just like, as you're saying, this is like the prototypical, stereotypical kind of 7 out of 10. We're gonna take a break for a second and just, you know, catch your breath.
It's your okay. Let's take a breather after the premiere. Mm-hmm. Let's do something. Kind of forgettable, you know.
But the insane thing.
I'm genuinely. Do we watch the same movie, episode? What's going on right now?
This was episode 9 originally.
That's right. That
feels insane to me that this was like, they were like, put this on like just in the middle of, you know, a run, not even before the finale, just like throw it in.
That's let me check where that is in the like. I'm trying to find out where that is in the series.
That might be the girl who waited.
It's the girl who waited. Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah.
But you can't also, do that. Like,
does that mean that Bonneville was like a last minute addition?
No,
to...
he was, I think, kind of like the guy they were really like pinning it down on.
Going to show up in Good Man Goes to War with no context.
The thing. I think we'll get to that like at some point, but I think there has to have been some shifting around there as well, because.
I mean, I do get that as an idea of like all these people come to help the Doctor. Some of them are people he has not met yet. I kind of like that idea.
Here's my thing. There is a world where that's Canton instead of Bonneville, and then that makes sense as well. And then, you know, the switch around happens, and they're like, well, we can...
Wait, that's who? Canton?
Yeah, because there's a world where Canton being in that episode makes sense, because they're like, you know, we're getting everyone back to help us out. We're getting, like, the Spitfires from series. You forgot Canton.
Oh my god. I looked at a silence. Right. I'm Mark Shepard. I don't call him Canton. Michelle, I call him fucking Mark Shepard.
I thought you were doing a bit.
I'm not. I genuinely forgot about him. Because I never called him Canton. I called him Mark Shepard. Now, you have a very funny opportunity here, David, that if you do have a clip of me calling him Canton, to put it right here. And then he sees it, and then Mark Canton sees that there's something in his hand.
So this was like the height of pirate mania. It was like the start of pirate mania, because like this is the same year as
This is the height of pirate mania. The second wind.
This is the slow like air letting out of the balloon of the pirate.
This is
Pirates of the Caribbean 4. Pirates of the Caribbean 4.
So that's like it's cresting, but after this you get like Black Sails and Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, and they're both like, you know,
oh my god, do you remember
is
Black Sails the one that got announced with a trailer on E3 where it was a dark version of the song Crazy? That is one of the iconic E3 memories for me, just this woman going, no, we're never gonna survive until we get a little crazy.
Remember when they re-announced that Ubisoft pirate game that they didn't make because the government...
So many times.
Yeah. That's what that was from. Yeah.
Remember when they like did that with like a sea shanty? Yes. And like, everyone looked really uncomfortable.
A sea shanty in like 2021. It was insane.
Like, everyone just looked so uncomfortable as they kept going.
Because it was all those like French devs just standing there on the stage politely, just kind of waiting for the shanty to end.
I miss Ubisoft E3 so much. I miss
it so much. There's nothing as beautiful as like you watch a trailer for, you know, like in war-torn Syria, the most badass man is going to kill thousands of people. And here to talk about it is the creator of Badass Man. And the most French creature walks out on stage with Mickey Z Badass Man. We want them to make him jump. Like, I love that shit. I miss it so much, man.
Everything like State of Play, like Nintendo can get away with it because Nintendo's productions were almost always fairly professional. But like everything else, like State of Plays and Xbox Showcase, like it's so just manicured and like
here's the thing, also
that it's so boring and lifeless, and you long for the days of a giant enemy crab.
You long for the days of all the feels.
Yeah, or for the days of Peggle 2.
Yeah. I mean, because I feel like how has nobody gone up to Jeff Keighley and be like, you should manufacture a moment like that?
Because he's got shareholders and also he's a non-interesting person. He's like the most boring
Jeff Keighley is an AI-generated man.
Yeah.
Like, Jeff Keighley would have messed it up so hard.
Jeff Keighley is a fake name made up by Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss, whatever they wrote.
Sorry, I'm seeing here that Jeff Keighley has a writing credit on Leonardo.
It would be. It is a Doctor Who plot of like, I invented a nom de plume, but now there's a real person who takes that name. What?
Also, I would like to make a correction. Episode 9 of Series 6 is Night Terrors, which is maybe the most... We're making this last second episode.
No, Night Terrors was episode 3, and then they swapped them around, because I remember...
That is insane.
Oh my god.
Like, the thing was that they were like, this is way too dark of a first run. Put the pirate thing in here, and then as a result, it just kind of feels a bit out of place. The other E3 moment I remember very well is the Just Dance concert where Jason Derulo started singing, and he was so like incredibly off key.
I don't remember what conference it was for, but like I remember the one where Joel McHale was just belligerently drunk on stage with Aisha.
I think that was the Spike Game Awards, wasn't it?
I could have sworn that was in E3 because they kept bringing Aisha Tyler out at E3 for a while. And I think there were...
Yeah.
I just remember Joel McHale being belligerently drunk at some game event.
I mean, it likely happened in 2011 because that was also peak Joel McHale.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be Joel McHale in 2011? Think you got the soup, you got Community, you think, you know, it's only up from here.
And then, no, it's, you know...
It's actually pretty okay. You're fine. You're never going to have money problems again.
You're on the podcast circuit forever talking about Chevy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Chevy was hard to work with?
What?
This is little known fact, but they would fight on set sometimes.
Yeah.
What?
I don't agree with what you guys said about... Sorry, we got to get back to this. I don't agree with what you said about how this doesn't feel like a pirate story. There's sword fights. They say yar. They are on a pirate ship. There's a storm. They mend the sails. The climax happens because the guy does something piratey and tries to steal the crown. What are you talking about? I mean, it's not Pirates of the Caribbean, but like, guys, they don't have that money, you know?
Look, I love a pirate sword fight as much as anyone else, but it is... That fight is almost a sub-community theater. No one involved in this fight scene wanted to learn any of the choreography. We have cut it down to the bare essentials.
The Rory bit where like she like falls and then Rory like does a pirouette midair and gets cut is just so funny. The thing for me is that I just think like all the trope stuff is so surface level and it's designed to be surface level, you know. But like it goes back to, like as well to what Nathan was saying. It doesn't really give them a chance to be pirates. And the thing that I was thinking is that like there's that one scene where Avery's kid is like, you know, my mum told me you were a great Navy leader. And he's like, yeah, sure. And then like 2 minutes later, like, kid, we're pirates. And he's like, what?
Yeah, no way. Like, I made a note about that, that it seems like the kid was pretty slow to pick up on the fact that his father and all of these grubby looking pirate motherfuckers who look like pirates are actually pirates.
But that's like a, oh, come on. That's like a Treasure Island thing of like, oh, I'm going to sneak on the ship. And it's like, they say on the behind the scenes that they wanted to put every trope, and they did. I think what we agree is that maybe they did go far enough, but I think for what they have money for and what this is supposed to be, this is the same. This is Doctor Who wish fulfillment mode. It's like, it's the same Doctor Who that's going to give us dinosaurs and a spaceship, you know?
Is a better episode than this. That is a more successful version of doing what it wants to do than this is.
I have not seen that one in so long. I don't know if I can agree with that.
I mean, it delivers on the promise of dinosaurs on a spaceship, and this barely, you know, delivers on the promise of pirates.
My thing as well is that it does all that, and then at the end, it tries to like tie it all together again by doing one of the most ham-fisted arc recognition bits of all time, where, you know, it has like, you know, the random flashback to him getting shot, the spinny thing on the scanner.
You should cut that shit out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that bit's just like, it, you don't need that. You can take a break. You know,
you can save that until like Doctor's Wife.
Hmm.
Which you don't really do. You don't need it. Well, this is back when every episode needs to mention the season arc, otherwise it's not a season arc. Mm-hmm.
It is also with the like the two-part season structure, you do want to keep that, like, you have less runway to get to where you want. I do get them wanting to make sure you're staying like, all right, do you remember this? Do you remember what's going on? Good, because
but hold on, I'm sorry, but this came out in the world where this is coming out. They have seen this a week ago, you know? And mm-hmm. I think we're still in the time when people had long-term mm-hmm. memory. I think it's a bit ridiculous to have
back. I am not justifying it. I do think it is like someone in production going, okay, we need to make sure this is idiot proof. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's the ADR when they That's mm-hmm. that's
true. Like even the Kavarian stuff, which I had forgotten about, like her just popping in like that. It's so jarring in that it's so jarring in this episode. It's just like, what was that? Why did mm-hmm. we need that? You could have just gone with there. I think you could keep one of these things. You can't keep all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so yeah. I do also think there are things in this episode that are ideas that would be good in a better episode.
Maybe it's because I was just in the right mood. Maybe it's because I actually never seen this episode until today.
Really?
I thought I did. And then when they started doing CPR on Rory, I went, I remember this. Oh, it's because I haven't seen it. Oh, okay. Now it makes sense. That scene was really good. Can we agree at least that scene was great? I feel like that just...
There are moments in this episode. Like, there are moments. It just... None of it cohesives into a whole for me. If that, you know.
I think I was just more into it. I don't know. The moment you start with an episode... that has like, man, how do I put this? This episode kind of starts off in a way where it's announcing itself as like, yeah. And then at no point do you ever like, how do you reveal your characters? How do you reveal the doctor? They're inside the ship and they go, yo, ho, ho. It's like, that's what this is about. They're going to go, yo, ho, ho. This is what kind of, there's no like clash of this is like, they're going to go see a real pirate and they're going to be surprised of what real pirates are like.
Yes,
this is Ho-Ho-Ho-Pirates.
I do like that the introduction isn't the Doctor like twirling around the console going, "Oh, I love a pirate." You know,
pirates. I just go pirates. I can't do a Matt Smith because all my Matt Smith imitations are just film brain imitations. So I can't do a Matt Smith.
Just
but I guess I don't know. I guess I bought it. I guess I just got into it.
I do think there is something to you maybe having never seen it before, and like, yeah. Like a discovery of something like, you know, years later, where it's just like, oh, I've never seen this before. This is a nice little discovery. Where I think David and I probably have the similar experience of, you know, May 2011, mm-hmm. watching this and going, this is kind of mid. This isn't great,
right.
Especially after the premiere. Like, which it's a good 2-part premiere. Like, it's,
yeah, we agree with you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and then you go straight into this and you're like, there's like, this is fine. And then, you know, coming back to it, I really wanted to like this episode. I was, you know, I picked this because it's not what I would have necessarily picked otherwise. It's an episode I want to give
mm-hmm.
a second chance. And I did like it more than I did back in 2011. I think, like, it's not good, but there, like, it has moments. It has individual moments throughout it that I think are good and belong in better episodes. I just wish it were, I wish it were a more cohesive whole. I wish there was more pirate stuff. Like, it cannot wait to get rid of the other pirate guest stars. Like, three of them die within the first 5 minutes.
And one disappears just out of nowhere. Just like, he's there and then he's not in the episode again. They're like, no one mentions him at all. That was like, do you notice that? Like, when the actors just like vanishes.
I did. Who? I think I like.
It's one of them. Like, I can't remember who it is. But what? Like, it's like it's basically what happens is they filmed him getting taken and then they cut the scene out. But like, there's no like, you know, ADR being like, he's gone or whatever. So he's just not. He just disappears. He just never shows up again. This is where I would be is that I kind of wish they did the ship within a ship reveal earlier, and then
I think that reveal needs to happen like 20 minutes in.
Yeah,
I don't. Then you miss the thing that's good about the siren, which is the Doctor being like, ignore my previous series, it's this, ignore my previous series, it's that, because then there's that moment when he actively seems to be believing that it's an actual siren when they're breaking the mirrors, and you know the Hugh Bonneville is like doing a face and he goes, I know what you're thinking, yeah, but like, we are being chased by a homicidal mermaid.
Yeah,
how could, like, this get worse?
The siren, I don't know about this. Like, I just, there's it, something about the siren.
A thing, yeah. A note I wrote down is that between the siren and like Amy and the pirate get up, this episode feels like some fetish shit. It feels like, okay, Stephen Thompson was working through some stuff, and it's just like, I get the fact siren. That she,
yeah,
I theoretically like the idea of the siren. I love a thing in Doctor Who where it's either medical technology gone wrong or misunderstood. Doesn't fully work for me here because I don't know. I think I would have liked more of a recontextualization of like, oh, you know, in you know, like in the real world, like everything she's doing is being translated as the siren song. I would have liked more communication once they were on the ship. Like it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked there. Because the Doctor's like, oh, she's clearly an intelligent being, which, yeah, but like, I would have liked more of that in the episode of like, oh, okay, this is clearly someone who is trying to communicate and cannot. Like, it's like, I would like it if it were more of an intelligent system, I guess, rather than just like a couple of minutes on the ship within a ship, where it's just like, even if you mm-hmm. don't trust her, Lily Cole, as an actress, give her some lines or give her more to do than just doing the singing again. Like, I would have liked a recontextualization, like something with her being outside of the ship is causing her to be interpreted this way. Now that she's on the real ship, like, okay, like, the song's not actually a song, or like it feels like bits are missing. Like everything's just so close to being pretty good or really good.
My thing is that like towards the end, the Doctor's like, "We have to stop her from getting the dry land, otherwise she'll turn everyone, like she'll zap everyone." And
yeah,
like, could you not put that into the episode rather than having like just? It feels like them trying to like, okay, we need some urgency here.
Like you could make that like.
Make text, not subtext. You know?
Like, you could make it even part of the cold open, of like, I don't know how you would do it, but like the pirates are leaving port, and they cut themselves, and then like before they can get on the ship, like they're gone. Mm-hmm. Like,
I mean, I do think that like he figures out the whole like she's taking it somewhere thing way too fast and. I do think it all just wraps up.
Somehow everything does feel too rushed. It feels like there needs to be like another 10 minutes added, and it also feels like there's 10 minutes missing from it. It's very odd.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very strange episode.
Interesting.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
So, not to name drop, but Hugh Bonneville was a big buddy of mine. By which I mean, when Good Man Goes to Work came out, I posted on the Everything app saying, "Oh my god, I can't believe Hugh Bonneville's back!" And some rando was like, "What?" And then Hugh Bonneville replied to both, "It's been like, oh, just a cameo, I'm afraid, just a cameo." So we were pals, you know. That happened again. I'll ask you about Bonneville because one review that's on the Wikipedia page for this episode suggests that he isn't menacing enough to play a pirate captain.
Okay.
I don't think he's going for menacing.
The whole thing is that like he was like, as much as it's stupid that the kid does not realize that he's surrounded by pirates, it is very clearly a good man who was like driven to piracy because he really liked gold. He's just a normal Hugh Bonneville type who
gold
really likes treasure. Also, Bonneville is good in the episode. Like Bonneville is the thing that fully works for me. His performance is good. I like his vibes. I think he fully works. But no, like he doesn't, like, of course he's not menacing. He's just a normal dude who likes gold.
Yeah.
And I
love gold. Simon, he tries to eat the skin of the black spot that came off. Of course, Captain Avery was referenced in The Smugglers, so this is kind of like a sequel of The Smugglers, or a prequel, I guess. You know, so First Doctor cameo where? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, like, I think I just hate pirates, to be quite honest with you. I think I just hate, I hate piracy. Get the pirate out of here. Like, there's only one pirate movie that I like, in terms of the Pirates franchise, and that's World's End. I don't like the first one, don't like the second one. The fourth one is maybe the worst movie ever made, and the fifth one, I was watching the fifth one and I got called outside to demolish a cabinet with a sledgehammer because we were like renovating the place, and I forgot I was watching it after I did all that, and I came back and I was like, and there was like an hour and a half left and I was like, Jesus, and I watched it, and that movie, people need to watch that movie because that movie ends with what is maybe the funniest teaser for a movie that's never going to happen, which is like Orlando Bloom comes back to dry land, you know, he's coming off, and Keira Knightley's there as well, this is like their little cameo, and like they're asleep, and then you see Davy Jones' shadow like creep across the wall,
Orlando Bloom makes up. I've seen this movie. Yeah.
That's how little people have seen this fucking movie, that apparently there was a Davy Jones cameo, like it hint that I have never heard about it until
it was going to set up what I assume would be parts of Caribbean 6, and then they were like, no, like, that's not
happening. This is a movie I have seen. I remember Knightley and Bloom reuniting. I don't remember the fucking Davy Jones Shadow at all.
Did you see the news that like they're like, well, one of our options for Pirates of the Caribbean 6 is that Johnny Depp is back. It's like, first of all, you already have a problem with people wanting, not caring about pirates, and you're gonna bring back this guy who already was a mess to work with.
Like a guy who 10 years ago was checked out, and
this is the thing. And we saw this like last year. His people are feeding stories to the press right now to try and build a comeback, because there's that one story about like him and like, was it Sidney Sweeney or Jenna Ortega? Like,
oh yeah, it was Sidney Sweeney. Yeah.
And then Sidney Sweeney's like, I have never even talked to these people about this. His people, like, and I know people who have met him recently. I know people who have he's worming his way back in to the point where they're going to try and do something like that. And they're just testing the waters to see like, are people willing to, you know, accept this horrible, horrible guy back on their screens?
I think pirates is not the medium for that, because
it's not.
The pirates well has already been poisoned. Like, people already roundly rejected him.
And like the thing with pirates as well is that like, even outside of him, they've been trying to get like the Karen Gillan one off the ground. Speaking of Karen Gillan, you know, like they're trying to get the Karen Gillan Parts of the Caribbean movie off the ground.
The Margot Robbie Pirates movie off the ground, and the Ayo Edebiri Pirates off the ground.
Some franchises had their time.
I understand the Karen Gillan one, because you know they added the red haired pirate to the ride a few years back.
Right.
And I think it makes sense that they would like to, you know, like, here's you can come see this character from this movie in this ride. Like, it's the character from the ride in this movie. And Karen Gillan does make sense as like, you know, badass pirate queen.
Do you think she remembers this one?
Absolutely not.
No. Nope. No, 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 no.
Like, if she got costume fittings, she might have a sense memory of like costume fittings for this, but like, she's not like, oh yeah, Arthur, yeah, remember when we did? It's fucking awful.
What the hell? What the hell was that? Oh my god!
You lassie off the land now, and you know what kind of rules is that? She's married to like a podcaster.
Oh no, she's wearing one of the Britannic guys.
Yeah, that's a fun celebrity relationship. Yeah,
that's insane. I don't believe that.
They've been together forever now. Like it's one of my favorite little bits of trivia, because like, I remember watching those guys' videos. You know,
Back before the
Matt Smith era of Doctor Who, like, I remember seeing their videos.
I remember them fucking putting Britannic on How I Met Your Mother in the last season. Everyone
was in that season.
Yeah. You know, Lin-Manuel Miranda was in that season, which was a surprise when I was watching it. I was like, ah!
Jump scare.
Yeah. Yeah, damn it, David, you're right. We don't have much to say about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. I wanted to come in and have a lot to talk about. I wanted to come in and be like, hey, I was wrong about this episode 13 years ago. This actually kind of rules. I'm like, there's one of those, like, it's so much of it is just one of those throwaway bits of like, it's that thing that shows up throughout Moffat's writing and like does not help beat the like Stephen Thompson is a pseudonym allegations that like, do you ever look in a mirror and like think you're seeing another world? And like,
you did really build that up. Yeah. It's like that came out of nowhere.
That almost does not really fit in this episode, because even the reflection thing is thrown in so relatively last minute to everything like converging on the ship. And it's, but like, it is one of those ideas where it's like, that almost feels like a rejected episode idea or an episode, like even just an episode I would like to see of like, yeah, there's something weird in Mirrors sometimes. Like, there's a bunch of little things sprinkled throughout it that are almost good ideas. None of it comes together. Mm-hmm. I want it to be more piratey because, unlike David, I do like pirates. Like, I think pirates are cool. I think they're fun. I like all of the first three Pirates movies.
I need to rewatch them, but it's been so long. It's been so long. But I, on top of this book, I will say they do have the. What's the book? I haven't read it, but isn't it like Doctor Who and Treasure Island or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
And it's with Eleven and Clara is the.
Clara.
Clara. Clara.
Clara.
Clara.
Ah. It's the Rebellion on Treasure Island.
Oh, Rebellion on Treasure Island.
Oh, guess who is also in it? A pirate called Long John Silver and a professor called River Song.
Of course. I was gonna ask who the other character in it. Like, was the Ronnie doing experiments on it? Like, are the Crotons on Treasure Island?
There should be a Doctor Who finale where it's revealed that the Ronnie was behind every single bad guy of the past 60 years. Just edit whoever that actress's name is into like each scene where she, if you're going like, yes, good job, Toy Maker. Yes, good job, Dalek from Daleks in Manhattan.
Just do the name of the Doctor thing again. I would love that. There's also a moment where Rory, like at the very beginning when Rory gets caught and he's going through like the siren madness, and Darvel's doing a lot in that scene. And, you know, he's like, I want a beard. I would look good with a beard. I'm like, oh, you know, like Rory's the master confirmed.
Yeah, the master always has a beard. I want to put forward a theory, which is that the show on pirates never work because like the next kind of big pirate thing is Legend of the Sea Devils. And that's one where like they get really, I mean, it's obviously one where like the big problem is they kind of get mangled in the edit, but like there's
a deeply compromised episode.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a more obviously compromised episode than this, where like you know stuff's missing from that. You just feel like stuff's missing from this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not even like, oh, they cut stuff out of it. You're just watching it going, am I missing something here? Like, something feels off here. I'm
trying to figure out why I didn't feel that, and I can't really land on anything other than I guess I just woke up with a pep on my step in that today.
I also do think there is something to this is kind of a delightful episode to discover now. Like it's like a little series 6A treat. Like even like, you know, if you like if you've never watched it, you're like, you know, like it's cool water in a spring of like, oh, what is this? I've never seen this. This is fun. This is something. Like, even if David and I don't like it, I think coming to it new at this point in time, you know, I think there is something to like, oh, there's a lost Stephen Moffat episode to me. Like,
mm-hmm. Didn't even really feel like a Stephen. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I will not downgrade my grade. No. It will still remain very high. But I have heard what you say, and I agree with parts of it. And I think overall, you know, I do the one thing this episode did give me is a renewed desire for a companion who comes from a different time than modern day.
Let's just do it. It'd be so much fun. I do not think we're going to ever get it unless, like, any of the show in its current iteration, like, no matter who the showrunner is, I don't, like, even if it's someone completely new after Russell T. Davies, I don't think it's going to happen because I think there's always going to be some corporate brain going, well, we need, you know, someone from modern day Earth for the characters to relate to. I think the only way you can get a non-modern companion is if you do a three-person TARDIS and throw in a Nardole. I think that's the only way you can really get a non-modern day companion.
Well, I disagree with you, and that's why the next Doctor Who companion is a caveman. I'm calling it now.
It is the Geico caveman.
It's the Geico caveman. It's a crossover.
You booked. Well.
That's really good.
I mean, David, I think you might not know this being in Ireland. Geico has started putting the Geico caveman back into their rotation.
I mean, look, he's booking. He's coming back. You know, this is his the substance, you know.
Bill Simmons is on his podcast going, is the Geico caveman having a moment?
And he is.
Mm-hmm. Is this his Jordan return season?
He's he's going on to Celebrity Love Island, you know.
Good for him.
He's scared of fire, so he can't really do like, you know, any of the kind of the big kind of
I heard he was going to be on Celebrity Pointless next season, which you know,
him and Colin Baker are going to do some questions. So you know, yeah, it's exciting.
Even more of me.
Grogwer, I love that. Crocs.
I love that video. I think about it so much. Even more of me.
As we will.
Oh, you were right, David. We didn't have much to say about this episode. Huh?
Mm-hmm. But as we'll establish next week, even more of me, a Hugo nominee. Not Grog Caveman though. Grog Caveman has to give a speech at a Hugo, and he'll get nominated. That's me looking to the future. Yeah, I don't know.
This is the one episode where my ability to extend an episode indefinitely might be defeated, which will be made up for the next time I am on, because that episode will be 3 hours long at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have talked to you about this. I'm coming in hot and prepared for that one.
Mm-hmm. But you know, the pirate ship's pulling away. The lifeboats are coming up. You might say,
the siren is coming for us all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone want to plug anything before we sail off?
I want to plug my ear so I don't listen to the siren.
Grog caveman.
Listen to my appearances on Pitch Please, an excellent podcast from some friends of the pod.
Mm-hmm. I've been on.
David's been on. Yeah. Listen to me on Pitch Please. I might have a podcast coming up soon. Don't know what it is. Don't know what it'll be. Oh, but, you know, in general, you know, look out for that.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me on the Everything app and Blue Sky at Woke John Wayne.
It's a great name. I love that.
Gamer era. Yo ho ho, Conan O'Brien.
Has
Conan O'Brien ever thrown to a pirate commercial?
Oh, we don't need to plug that.
You got me. There's nothing I know I wouldn't. Next time on Pod Tour, who cast?
I've got mail.
There's a living Time Lord sitting out there.
The house, what's the house?
We walk on his back, breathe his air, eat his food.
And do my will.
The little boxes will make you angry.
You're like a 9-year-old trying to rebuild a motorbike in his bedroom.
You are not my mother.
Why shouldn't I just kill you now?